Hello, and welcome to Sentencing Practice Talk, a podcast for federal sentencing practitioners presented by the U.S. Sentencing Commission. My name is John Scapini, and I'm a publishing and public affairs specialist at the Commission. This episode is all about firearms. My colleagues Lori Baker and Peter Mattson do a deep dive on the 2023 amendments to the primary firearms guideline at 2K2.1, answer frequent questions about applications relating to these changes, and more. Without further ado, here's Lori and Peter.
Hi, welcome to Sentencing Practice Talk. Today, I am joined by my friend and colleague, Peter Mattson. This is Pete's first appearance in podcast land since we started this up again. So, Pete, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Thanks, Lori. Well, I've been here at the Sentencing Commission now since April 2015, so coming up on almost 10 years. Prior to that, I was a U.S. probation officer all over the country, really.
The traveling probation officer.
Indeed. I was first a pretrial services officer in the Southern District of Ohio for a year, and then transferred to the Northern District of Texas for 2.5 years. And then prior to coming to the Sentencing Commission, I was in the District of Minnesota for just under 8 years.
Yeah, so you and I both have a background in probation, and we have, together, we've spent a lot of years working on sentencing guidelines, and we know that they can be really difficult to apply. Pete, I'm really glad you're here, because today we're going to talk about firearms, and you know that every time I get a tough firearms question, I am coming to your office, so I'm glad you are talking about this item. We recently did a series of podcasts talking about the 2024 amendments, including an introductory session where we talked about how amendments come to be and how the amendment cycle works. But today we're going to take a step backwards to the 2023 amendments. We had some significant changes to the primary firearms guideline at 2K2.1. And since that time, we've had a lot of questions about the application of some of those changes. So why don't we start by just talking kind of generally about what that amendment did to the guideline at 2K2.1?
That was definitely an amendment that had a lot of changes for us. There were two new laws that got incorporated. Congress actually passed the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act in June of 2022 that had two new laws, this 932, which was the straw purchasing of firearms, and then a 933, trafficking in firearms. So we had to find a new statutory appendix, new base offense levels.
So basically two new crimes were created as a result of that act.
Exactly. Okay. And then on top of that, we also had a congressional directive to include some additional specific offense characteristics. First, to modify or amend our trafficking specific offense characteristic. There's also an organized crime increase and then a mitigating circumstance decrease that kind of encompassed this 2023 amendment firearms.
So that's a lot of stuff that went on, a lot of changes that took place in 2K2.1. Can you tell us if there are questions that we're getting about anything in particular with those changes?
I'm glad you asked, because the new trafficking enhancement at B5, so 2K2.1B5, actually has three different increases. And we're always going to only apply the greatest in this situation. But in the past, there was a four-level increase if you trafficked multiple firearms. The new specific offense characteristic that took effect in November of 2023 includes this tier step where we have a two-level increase if somebody was convicted specifically of a 933A2 or A3. We have a two-level increase if that basically the defendant was involved in straw purchasing or trafficking of firearms. And we have a new five-level increase if the defendant was involved in trafficking of two or more firearms and they basically transported or transferred those to other individuals who couldn't legally possess that firearm. Maybe they had a crime of violence or controlled substance offense, they were under a criminal justice sentence, or that person intended to use or dispose of that firearm unlawfully. So there's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. So we previously had the increase for trafficking at B5, but there was only one option within that section. Now we've got multiple options to choose from. So what do you think is causing people the most confusion in deciding if one of those increases applies and then if so, which one would apply?
I think that's a really good question. I think it really is just kind of focusing on the guideline itself and reading each of the specific offense characteristics, because in the past, you're right, this didn't apply very often at all. And in essence, the new specific offense characteristic will apply almost every single case for those individuals involved in either stop purchasing or trafficking of firearms. So I think that's the biggest change. Those individuals who are convicted after November 1st, 2023, more likely than not are going to have a 2-level and potentially a 5-level increase that they wouldn't have been exposed to previously.
So this is going to apply much more broadly than it did in the past.
Very much so. And that was the directive we got from Congress, was to actually increase the penalties for these type of individuals.
And that 5-level increase is similar to the 4-level increase from the past. It's a little bit different, but it in many ways looks a lot like it did before. Am I correct about that?
Yeah, it looks very similar, except the one provision at the very end is when they get transfer or transport 2 or more firearms to that individual. The third criteria talks about that defendant intended to use or dispose of that firearm unlawfully. That is something new in this 2023 amendment.
So the takeaway really is, for anyone that's charged with straw purchasing or trafficking, really take a close look at B5, read the guideline, read the application notes to see if one of those trafficking increases applies, because it may well apply where it wouldn't have in prior editions of the manual.
That's very true.
All right. So, I think we've kind of covered the high points of that 2023 amendment, but we get a lot of firearms questions on the helpline or when we're out training. Are there any other topics that we get a number of questions on?
I'm glad you asked that question as well, because there is another issue that I think is new to us. It's certainly the proliferation of Glock switches, giggle switches, whatever name you want to know. These are these devices that, in essence, turn a regular firearm into a machine gun. So inevitably, we now have questions like, how does this affect the base offense level? Does this affect any particular specific offense characteristics? So that's one issue that we're certainly fielding calls on a probably daily, if not weekly, basis.
Right. So basically, these are those conversion devices. I remember my first helpline call that I got about a Glock switch, and I came to you and said, what is a Glock switch? Because I had no idea what it was. And giggle switch is a new term. Just heard that one recently. So yeah, a lot of different terms for these devices that convert a firearm into a machine gun.
Right.
So we get a lot of calls on this. Obviously, there's a lot more of those out there. But what's the issue in applying the guidelines when you've got these switches?
So we have two issues. Number one is the base offense level. So in the 2K2.1 guideline, we have some base offense levels that are higher if the firearm meets the definition under Title 26, United States Code 5845A. That definition is different than the definition of a firearm itself. We actually define what a firearm is at 18 U.S.C. 921A3. So inevitably, we have two different definitions, one that we're using for the base offense level and one that we're using for the specific offense characteristics in 2K2.1.
Well, that sounds pretty confusing to me. So explain how that works in practice. When we're talking about base offense levels, we're using that Title 26 definition. So what does that mean for applying base offense levels?
Well, maybe it's easier if we actually walk through a scenario. So if we get a call on the helpline, or I was doing training at the National this year, and somebody said, well, I've got a defendant who's got 20 Glock switches. Okay, so what's the base offense level? Those Glock switches, or giggle switches, whatever you want to call them, auto sears, they meet the definition under Title 26, United States Code 5845A. They're parts, they're pieces. That definition doesn't actually have to include an entire firearm. So the fact that a defendant possesses a Glock switch will inevitably result in a higher base offense level. That then begs the next question. Okay, I've got 20 of these Glock switches. Does that also mean that I'm going to get an increase for the number of firearms? As I mentioned earlier, we have a different definition in the guidelines for firearm, which is found at 921A3. That definition includes, I think it says something to the effect of it expels a projectile, right? So you actually have a firearm shooting something. So these little pieces and parts, the switches, giggle switches, Glock switches, auto sears, don't meet the definition of a firearm. So at the end of the day, you have a higher base offense level for these Glock switches, but they're not being accounted for in the number of firearms.
And that is that's a frequent question that we get. Often it is about that increase for number of firearms, but it can be about other specific offense characteristics. And I feel like the summary is that because the switches meet the definition under Title 26, they can be used for base offense level. They do not meet the definition for a firearm otherwise, and therefore they don't count when you're looking at any of the specific offense characteristics. So that's where the divide is. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, that's correct. In fact, sounds like you can answer those helpline calls now.
I'm getting better at it.
But I think there's also one case. Alan and I had done some training in Puerto Rico and came across a First Circuit case from 2024, the United States versus Nieves Diaz, 99F4th, number one, where they actually addressed this exact same issue where somebody had a Glock switch. They said, yes, the base offense level is going to be calculated at a higher level. However, that did not meet the definition of a firearm. And in fact, the B6B under 2K2.1 didn't apply because that was not a firearm. It was right. A switch or whatever. So there's at least one case that we're aware of that has addressed the issue thus far.
Yeah, totally understandable that that's confusing, though, when you're trying to apply a difficult guideline anyway. And if you're not really aware of those differences in the definition, then you're going to make some assumptions that things apply when they don't. So
exactly.
Really important to keep those two definitions separate. All right. Well, thank you for joining me to talk about guns today, Peter.
Wonderful. I'm glad now that my workload will get a little bit less because now when you get the help.
I won't be bothering you exactly. Quite so much.
Laurie knows what we're talking about.
All right. Thanks, Pete.
All right. Thanks, Laurie.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Sentencing Practice Talk. Be sure to subscribe if you haven't already to the podcast on iTunes and Spotify to stay up to date. If you've got a question for the helpline or want to access any of the resources discussed in this episode, you can find us at ussc.gov. Please be advised that the information provided by Commission staff is offered to assist in understanding and applying the sentencing guidelines. The information does not necessarily represent the official position of the Commission, should not be considered definitive, and it is not binding upon the Commission, Court, or the parties in any case. This episode was produced and published at taxpayer expense. That's all for now. Thanks for listening.